Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler. Today is a very special podcast. I'm excited for you to get to hear. Bruce and I are joined by Jeff Jones, who is one of Bruce's very best friends and the senior pastor of Chase Oaks Church down in Plano. Bruce and Jeff have quite a long history of friendship and mutual support and encouragement, and I think we can all learn from their example. You're going to love this conversation. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I am in a different studio with slightly different people. We are down at Chase Oaks in their podcast studio because I'm having the privilege of talking to Jeff Jones, who is the senior pastor of Chase Oaks. And go ahead, say hi, Jeff.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Hey, I love Christ Fellowship. And I get to be there in a couple of weeks, and I can't wait.
That's right. That's why we're doing this. Jeff is going to come and preach, and to you guys, it will be like a few days when we release this. But yes, we're excited that Jeff is going to come. And Jeff, why are you coming now?
Well, because my mentor and lifelong friend is a short-termer, I guess. He's about to take his next step, and it's a privilege for me to be able to come and just be part of that process of, I think, Leroy Armstrong and I get to speak in this last little spurt for Bruce as we've walked alongside him and been praying for Christ Fellowship and alongside that as well, so we're just sort of, I guess, part of the...
Yeah, and I'm honored for you to come, Jeff. And Jeff, as you know, you preached in the early days a number of times. It's been a while now, so I've been waiting until you improved the preaching.
Finally. It means a lot that I'm
He's finally there.
I know.
No, this is great. I think, Bruce is in his final weeks of being senior
pastor.
Come on now. I know, but I'm looking at the calendar and it's making me misty. I'm not going to lie. We're getting close to the end here. But so this last series, you guys know who are listeners. We are doing the book of Philippians, and it's Bruce's one of his favorite books. It really speaks to him personally. And I think it's speaking to all of us as we think about it, not just in terms of the word of God, but in terms of what it means for you to tell us and to preach from Philippians to encourage us. And so Jeff's going to come, and he's not going to preach on Philippians, though. He's going to take a little slightly different tact. But before we get to that, I thought we'd start with, you guys have been friends a really long time. So tell me a little bit about how you met.
So yeah, I came to Dallas in 1989. To go to Dallas Theological Seminary. A friend of mine was on staff at what is now Chase Oaks Church, and I, because of him, became an intern right away. And I got to know Bruce right away in two different ways. So my first seminary class was a bibliology and prolegomena or something, and my professor was this Bruce Miller, and at 7:30 on Tuesday, and you had a beard to look older.
I tried.
Because Bruce...
Tamara hated that beard.
Because you were what, fresh out of seminary then,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
He was fresh out of seminary, this brilliant guy that they tapped to come in and be a professor at that age. But he looked about 15.
I was 28.
And so the beard. But that was great. And then he was also on staff at what is now Chase Oaks Church and was the director of the intern program. So, and one of the pastors there. So I knew him both ways, as an intern and as a student, which was a real privilege to be able to participate in both.
So now you guys were both working under, Gene Getz was the senior pastor at that time. So tell me a little bit about what it was like to work for Gene and what you guys took away from that.
Yeah, he is just an amazing mentor. There's very few heroes these days who have been faithful for their entire lives. And Gene is now 92.
Wow.
And has been faithful to Christ.
And isn't stopping.
No, still going strong for Christ. And he has been faithful all those years. And so it was a privilege to learn from him. Jeff and I both played racquetball with Gene back in the day. And I think he's made a big impact on both of our lives.
Yeah. So you guys started... Was it weird? Like he was your professor at first, and when did he become like a friend?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we started pretty early, because the way Bruce does ministry, and I'll be talking about this that weekend, is not just doing it, but doing it alongside and through other people, because he's a developer. And mm-hmm. so we, early on in the internship, I asked if I could become a double intern, only paid for one, but be a double intern. It was a 15-hour-a-week thing, and to continue in youth ministry, I didn't want to leave that, but at the same time, serve with him in adult ministry and discipleship, leadership development, that kind of stuff. And I remember that conversation because he said, you know what? What if, let's do that. And how about, you know, we just think of it this way. I'm going to prepare you as if you're going to do my job one day.
Ah.
Not saying I'm going anywhere, not saying that's going to happen, but I'm going to, let's do this as if that would happen. And from a developmental perspective, and of course, that's what eventually did
that's
happen
exactly
when he went
happened.
To start Christ
Wait, but
Fellowship.
But I had no idea at the time.
Yeah. So when he went to start Christ Fellowship and all that, that did happen, but and that started not just a working relationship, but it felt more like a friendship and a partnership.
I'd
in ministry.
Say so too. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably early 90s, 91.
Yep.
Somewhere right in there.
Yep.
Yeah. So more than 30 years ago.
Yeah. So you, Bruce, you felt called and went and started Christ Fellowship, which was kind of a church plant from your church now, Jeff. And so you go off to start Christ Fellowship. Jeff, when did you become the senior pastor of Chase Oaks?
Officially, unofficially at the end of 2003, but kind of publicly at the beginning of 2004. So it's a little over 20 years.
And okay. Just winding it back a little bit before that is that Jeff and I started the Centers of Church-Based Training together.
Oh, okay.
CCBT, and did that together for several years. And then when I felt the vision from God to start Christ Fellowship, I went to Jeff, and we were so close. I was sharing it with him, and we had an early thought, what if we do this together? That was in 1995, late fall, and I remember Jeff came back from Christmas vacation and said, I think I'm supposed to stay. Mm. And then we said, what if we do this as sister churches, and we work together? And so in various ways, we've done that over the years.
That's awesome. So you felt called to stay, you felt called to go, but you guys still maintained your relationship. And so I know, just from knowing Bruce, that you guys meet for breakfast. What is it, every Monday or every other Monday? Or
every Monday morning, 7:30.
Okay.
Bruce gets his muffin. I get my avocado toast.
I get coffee. I'm trying to help Jeff grow into coffee. And he's actually recently made an early step into coffee. It's
really, you're not a coffee guy.
I have never been, but we opened at our legacy campus a coffee shop, local good coffee company. And when we did that, I thought, okay, I'm going to give 31 days of drinking coffee every day to see if it could be.
It's not actually a real cup of coffee, though. There's a lot added into it.
Is it like a frappuccino-y kind of thing? Or
there's a formula for sure.
That's okay. We see, this is where we love people and our differences.
That's right.
Right.
That's
coffee
right.
People, non-coffee people, we all can get along.
Yeah, but we've been doing that for, I don't know.
Gosh, 30 years maybe?
30 years, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say maybe since 1994, 95.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Yep.
So what has been the fruit of that?
Well, it's been, you know, life-giving. I mean, we essentially, all the ups and downs and sideways of life and ministry, you know, ministry is wonderful and yet not easy and sometimes clear and sometimes fuzzy and sometimes devastating and sometimes exhilarating and, you know, everything in between. And so to be able, not only ministry, but life too, and relationships and family, to be able to journey together pretty much through all of that and getting perspective and encouragement and input has been invaluable. And you know, you do it long enough, you really can't keep any secrets if you tried, you know, because you can kind of tell, you know. And so to be able to have somebody that, say, hey, there's no secrets here. There's no, we're just total openness. Here's what's going on. To sharpen each other, challenge each other, encourage each other, pray for one another, cry with one another, whatever it is. You know, it's been a real privilege to be able to journey together.
I remember we started it as we'd use the word accountability.
Yeah.
And yet it's gone so far past that. And so I think the word life-giving is the most significant. And both of us bear a considerable amount of responsibility in our lives for our churches and also beyond that, both writing books and speaking more broadly. And yet we wouldn't miss the Monday time. Mm-hmm. And not because it's an obligation, but because it's life-giving. It's like, no, I want to be with Jeff, and I need to be with Jeff because it's life-giving. And like Jeff said, we now know it's not that we tried to like be vulnerable, but we chose to be vulnerable beginning in the early days. And now we know everything we know about each other's marriages and kids and church and extended families and our whole family histories. And not only do we know it because we've told it to each other, but we've lived it together for 30 years. So all the ups and downs of our children, raising our children, our kids getting married, I mean, and now grandkids. And I mean, there's just a lot of life in there, as Jeff said, ups and downs of all kinds. Death of a parent, death of parents. Both of us have lost our dads and walked through losing our dads together. In addition to seeing our churches grow and have difficult challenges and wonderful excitements and leadership challenges where you need unbelievable wisdom and faith and courage, and to be able to encourage, give each other courage and challenge each other where we think one of us might be drifting a little bit off of center one way or another. Boy, we have done that dozens and dozens, hundreds of times over 30 years.
And I think a transferable principle is all of us have a measure of grace, as Paul says, or a sphere of influence. And what I found is that a lot of people in a leadership seat don't have peer relationships with other people who know what it's like to be in that chair and who aren't overly impressed, therefore, with each other. They're not deferring, you know, because they're, you know, your peers, you know, and can understand what it's like to be in that chair, to lead at that level, and can speak into each other's life very clearly and with understanding, so that whenever we're going through whatever we're going through, I know, okay, this is a person who gets it. They understand what it's like to be me right now. And my experience is that the more responsibility over the years, just the more responsibility people have, often, unfortunately, the less likely they are to, I mean, it's not easy to find those people, you know, that the less likely it is that they have those kind of connections and friendships. And I think that's a really dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
And we see so many fellow pastors and fellow leaders leading other kinds of organizations, businesses, who are unbelievably isolated.
Yeah.
And really have no friends beyond the casual, hey, 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 how you doing? Much less the friends, any friend at the level of depth that Jeff and I experienced it. We have other people we know and friends that we enjoy, but I think to have a friend at this level of depth is really strengthening. And even if you can't get to this level, at least have someone you can share with is really important.
Yeah, I would say it's not just leaders. I would say most people nowadays don't have someone who we're so good at protecting ourselves, and we're so afraid of being vulnerable that we frequently don't have people that we allow to speak into our lives. And
as we know, loneliness is epidemic, and especially post-COVID.
Yeah.
And it's hurting us.
Yeah. And to have someone who will say, hey, I think you're going the wrong direction here.
Right.
I don't think this is wise. You know, to get past the offense of, or the, you know, defensiveness of that, and to, because you know that this person loves you and cares about you, and you're like, oh, I should listen to this person. And I don't think a lot of us have people like that beyond maybe our spouses, but that's not enough. You really need a friend.
Yeah. And not only to give that initial, hey, this is something I think you should think about, but even when you feel like, I don't think you're listening, you know, or I don't think you're really hearing, you know, just to keep pushing that next level, or to follow up. You know, when you meet every week and to say, hey, you said that you were going to have that conversation with Christy, Jeff, my wife. How did that go?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, yeah, that's right. I was going to do that. Right? And so, you know, it's so important to have that regular connection with another person that is with you and for you in life in a significant way. And I don't think any of us can stay on track without that.
No, I agree. I agree. And as you said, I think the more responsibility you have, the more isolated, easier it is to be isolated, and the easier it is to believe your own press.
It
like,
is.
Like, man, I'm really good. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, and you need someone to maybe deflate that bubble just a little.
And when that happens, other people aren't honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, when you they're on your staff, they're in your church, and so it's just that's just the nature of the situation. No one's trying to do the wrong thing. It's just that's what happens. And also, when you're building a real relationship, it's more than just like a scheduled meeting. Mm-hmm. So for Jeff and I, when we're out of town, we call each other. And when things happen in life between Monday mornings, it's not uncommon that we'll call each other. And because of the nature of our relationship, if I see a call from Jeff, I take it 24/7, and he takes my call 24/7.
Yeah.
And then we've done ministry together, whether that's at our churches or at other churches or other conferences, seminars, mission trips. We've traveled together internationally multiple times.
Boy, that's a test of a relationship, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah. We've shared rooms together.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, there's been some squirrely ones and some great ones, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think for people listening, like, how did that start? Was it just the intentionality of it? Like, you guys said, we're going to do this? Or was it, I mean, obviously you like each other. There's a genuine affection.
I think probably in the internship program, I set up a regular meeting.
Yeah.
At that point, it was to invest in Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And as Jeff said, pretty quickly that turned into a friendship
mm-hmm.
that became not supervisor intern or professor student, but pretty quickly became partners. And then as Jeff and I, you talked about a measure of grace, we're very different people and we really get each other, but there's gifts and abilities Jeff has that I don't have mm-hmm. and gifts and abilities I have that, you know, you don't have, Jeff. And so, yeah, we've just seen our ministries grow and grow differently. And come to appreciate that. And I think that's how it started and quickly turned into a partnership and then grew into this deep friendship.
Yeah. So how would you, what would you say to people who are like, man, that sounds great listening to you guys talk. How could I do that? How could I get that? What would be a step they could take?
Yeah, it is tricky. I think you need to, you know, so for us, right, the way the genesis of it is we were both doing ministry on a team together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it organically developed into that kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's difficult. I'll have people, and I know Bruce has people, who they want us to be their best friend or mentor or whatever. And sometimes, you know, it just most of the time that needs to work out organically. Mm-hmm. So there's chemistry and
sure,
all that over time. And same thing with a deep friendship. So I think it's getting involved in relationships with an intentional eye of, hey, maybe this is a person I could take sort of a next step with. I don't know if it will end up at this sort of lifelong friend kind of a thing, but, you know, it's worth coffee and
a
next conversation and just to see where that goes and then to add some intentionality over time as it develops, because I think that's what happened with us.
Yeah,
and I'd agree. You take a start. I mean, it's like any relationship. You take a beginning by faith. Let's have coffee.
Yeah.
Why don't we try this for 6 weeks? Why don't we do a Bible study together or an accountability and ask each other? Early on, we had sets of questions we would go through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's accountability questions. And then if it goes deep enough, you outgrow that. I would say the best book I think that Jeff and I both have read and a mutual friend of ours wrote that we have high respect for, his name is Roland Foreman. It's called Lingering, The Lost Art of Mentoring. And he has just great insights on how to start a friendship like this and the kind of things you can do to build it deeper and deeper.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's good. The other thing I think is really cool about you guys is there doesn't seem to be a lot of competition. I know a lot of church leaders, like with the church down the road, I mean, they'll say, oh, yes, we all are for Christ. We all love each other. But there's a little competition.
Yes.
But has that ever been an issue for you guys?
I've never felt 1 ounce of that.
No, not at all.
That's awesome.
We do measure, like, every week we talk about how many books each of us has sold.
Yeah, and you're like, what was your attendance last week?
Yeah, we do attendance. No, that has been, I think your word, Jeff, not 1 ounce. That, zero.
That's amazing. Yeah, and great.
I think great gratitude for each other and celebrating each other for the wins in each other's lives.
Yeah.
In our churches, in our families, with our kids, with our ministries beyond our churches. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's part of what you were saying when you preached on to live as Christ, to die as gain, Bruce. When Christ really is your focus, then it's like anything that advances the kingdom, we celebrate.
That's right.
And that really has to be our mindset in our lives. Okay, you guys meet. Jeff, when Bruce came to you and said, I feel like the Lord is strongly calling me to move on, what was your reaction?
Well, if you know, it was met because I was actually going to talk to him at some point about, you know, thinking about planting a church in somewhere like McKinney, you know, and doing that as my next step. And then he said, "Hey, I really believe God's called me to do that." And I was like, "Well, that's interesting, you know." And that's that. And then we said, "Well, what if we, you know, consider doing that together and all that?" So I was like, "Shoot, you got there before me." It was kind of my first. My first thing, but that was right. I was not ready to do that, not even close.
Yeah.
But even though in my head I might have thought I was. And so it was the right thing for him, and it was the right thing for me at the time. But yeah, initially it was like, really? Like, I was about to have that same conversation with you.
Well, clearly the Lord was in that, I guess, then. That was
absolutely
the idea
that
people up north needed more Jesus, more churches. Okay, so you guys now have walked together for 30 years. And Bruce, I'm assuming you went to Jeff and said, "I feel like it's time for me to step down as senior pastor." How was that conversation? Did you feel like Jeff was someone you could go to and say, "Hey, what do you think?"
Oh, absolutely. In fact, in part of that time, we were actually out of town together.
Okay.
Once again, this was in the United States, in the Northeast. We were at a conference together. And part of the time where I felt God was calling me. So actually, Jeff was one of the very first people I talked to about it, and that was very natural for me.
Yeah.
And flowed right in our relationship. It wasn't a shock to Jeff that I would share something of that magnitude.
Yeah.
That would be normal for me to process with Jeff almost immediately.
Yeah. That's great. It's good to have people like that in your lives. Okay, so Jeff, you are going to preach at Christ Fellowship. What are you going to talk about?
Well, I won't try to give too much of the punchline,
we just want a teaser.
So, you know, we all have our little quirks, right? And Bruce, I love him. He's more quirky than most, you know? So we'll talk about
Tamara would say the same thing.
So, like, you know, when we've traveled overseas, for example, I don't think I'll share this. I will share a couple quirks. I'm not sure I'll share this one, but so Bruce, he's gotten better, but when we would travel some overseas, which we did a lot, we'd go sometimes to some incredible places, you know, to see things. And he would always, I'd say, "Bruce, you know, we're right here in Vienna, you know, and we've got to go do a tour, or we've got to go to the opera house, or we've got to go to the Stadtpark or something." And for him, he'd be like, "You know, I think I'm just going to go to this little cafe and get some work done." I'm like, "No, you could do that in McKinney," like, you know. And so I remember finally I talked him into in Germany. We were in East Germany at right where Wartburg Castle is, where Martin Luther was holed up for a while, protected for about a year. And that's where he translated the New Testament into German, a translation, the still primary translation that they use. And as I was like, "Bruce, we've got to go tour that." Like, you know, we've got to go tour. So finally, this was like the first thing I talked him into, to go see something, you know, when we were somewhere. And so I booked the tour. We went, and I'm not a very detailed person, and so I didn't realize until we were there that the tour I booked was all in German, so we couldn't understand any of it. So we ended up trying to he was getting antsy, and so the tour was kind of taking a long time, going from room to room. So we found a door that was open. Do you remember this?
Oh yes, yes.
And we shouldn't have, I guess, but you know, went in this room and then it locked behind us, and we had to try to maneuver our way through this maze of a castle.
Trying to wander our way out of this castle, no idea where we're going. All the signs are in German.
And worrying that you're about to get arrested in Germany.
Yeah. Neither Jeff or I are great at following those sort of rules. And I was just trying to live on mission, and Jeff wants to go be a tour guy, be a tourist, and I'm trying to follow, you know, the
every
mission.
Second, right? Right. Every second intentional. But anyway, so, you know, we all have our little things. But I really wanted to focus on, man, what are the things about Bruce that I appreciate most that we can learn from? And there's a number of those for Bruce. But one of those is really what we've been talking about. Our relationship was a developmental relationship, to have a kind of relationship that pretty much starts with, "Hey, I want to relate to you as if you're going to take my job one day." And and to think developmentally. Like when we started the Center for Church-Based Training together, we didn't have to start it together. He could have started without me and said, hey, I want you to work for me. But that's not the way he approached it. And it was like, hey, let's do this together. And we did it together, which elevated me. He was still the primary. He had a lot more to offer than I did. But he didn't treat me that way, and he lifted me up. And so we're going to be talking about that, because all of us have people in our lives that God has put there. And what if the greatest contribution of our life is not what we do, but what we enable others to do?
Amen.
And the best leaders would answer that question, absolutely. That's the best. You know, it's not just pushing people out of the way and let me do it. It's and all of us have people in our lives that way. And so what would it look like to be a developer of people, not just a doer of things, in a way that our contribution looking back would be exponentially greater than if we just did our thing? And Bruce is the perfect example of that. And there's so many of us who can point to the trajectory of our lives being changed because of a leader who was willing to lead that way. And so that's our topic.
That's great. And man, you have a million examples from the Bible to pick from.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's what Jesus did, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what Paul did. That's what you were going to talk about Moses. I mean, yeah. Okay. I wanted, as we talk about you guys in your, you know, Bruce, you're at the finish line of at least being senior pastor, not of your ministry.
Yeah, not the end, by the way.
Not, I know. Yeah.
He's well, not. But he's, the end of this role.
The end of this
moment.
Role.
Yes.
And then Jeff, you know, you've got many more years, I'm sure. But what would you say to young pastors? Like, think about yourselves back in 1992, 93. What would you have wanted to hear? If you could go back and tell young Jeff and young Bruce one thing, what would you tell them?
You know, it's hard to go for one thing, but along the theme of what we're talking about is I really would encourage building relationships and taking a risk to be vulnerable with somebody and to do everything you can to avoid isolation. In addition to our relationship, Jeff and I years ago started, we're part of a small group of Dallas area pastors that met once a month for 15 years. Mm. And we met at different people's churches, just a small group. And that was another life-giving piece. So I think there's layers of relationship. There's Jeff is the deepest relationship in my life, but there are other layers too. And so I would encourage a young pastor to build relationships at several different levels. Jeff also relates to pastors in the Plano area. I relate to pastors in McKinney. Mm-hmm. And so those groups have helped us. And I would encourage a young pastor to form relationships.
That's great. What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, and I would certainly agree with that, and add to that, see accountability as your best friend, not as an impediment to speed or doing what you want to do. And where people get in trouble is what Bruce is talking about, either isolation, and on the other side, lack of accountability and a poor accountability structure. And any leader with a lot of responsibility and no accountability, especially in an environment where people are telling you how great they are and how great you are because of all the reasons.
Part of being a pastor is being on a stage.
Right. Yeah.
And in your environment, whether it's 100 people or 10,000 people, you're the star. You're the VIP in that particular world, that pond, that setting.
So dangerous.
It is.
Yeah. And so nobody is going to be able to end well without avoiding isolation and without avoiding lack of accountability, or let's say just pursuing accountability and being an account. So Bruce and his elders and the elders and me, people might think, we can do whatever we want to do. You know, that is not true.
That is not true.
And we serve with a team of people who, as a team, supervise us and hold us accountable, and we make decisions together. And
I'd say part of that's a choice you and I have made. When you're a founding pastor or, like Jeff, a long-term pastor, you can choose how you relate to your elders. And to some extent, and we have chosen to be under their authority in an appropriate way, to be accountable to them as we lead them, and yet to really listen. And not everyone does that, but I think you've done that well, Jeff. We've done that together. Each of us has done that. And I think Gene Getz was a good early model of building an elder team where he was one of the elders and yet led the elders.
Yeah. Well, and I'll just speak for Bruce. You're good at that with the staff too. You have a pretty good open door policy where it's like, I mean, I'm y'all might be shocked, but I'm someone who's come in and said, Bruce, I don't think this is right. I don't think we should do this. I don't think this is a good thing. And you have enabled me to do that. I would never have done that and been bold enough to do that if you hadn't been so open. And there are times that you just listen and smile and nod and then do exactly what you were doing before. But there have been other times that you really did go, okay, well, maybe I need to take a beat and think about this.
And that's a good principle because that's contagious. So if, you know, I said see accountability is your best friend, you could add to that, see feedback from people as your best friend too. Not, you know, as something to be offended by, but pursued and listened to and all of that. But the way you respond to feedback will determine whether anybody ever gives it again.
Right.
You know, and so if you, you know, like Lisa, if you came and said something, you know, and I said, and it, thank you so much for honoring our church and loving me enough to share something uncomfortable. I know that's be easier just to have not done that. I'm going to consider that. I'm going to listen to that. I'm going to process that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to do it again, you know, right? And you, if all that's honored, as opposed to either being ignored or being shamed or whatever. And Bruce and I have seen leaders over the years that
have done that. They've shut people out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I completely agree. And that you actually make changes. I can think of times, Lisa, where you knew the preaching schedule, the proposed preaching schedule far in advance. And you've said, I think we ought to do a different preaching. I mean, at a particular series, I suggest something else, a different book of the Bible. And I changed.
Yeah.
I had one preaching schedule and I shifted it because I thought your input was really wise, had good reasons behind it. And as I evaluated it and sought others' counsel, we changed and did, frankly, the approach that you suggested.
Yeah. Yeah. Which also helps develop your staff, right?
Right.
Because that gave me the opportunity to do something that I wouldn't ordinarily have gotten to do, which is also really cool. So, anyway, we could talk all day. You guys both have so much wisdom to share, but you both also are busy guys with things you got to do for the rest of the day. So I'm going to close this in prayer. Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. It's
absolutely. And it's a real privilege to, I see, you know, the way the New Testament talks about church is family and, you know, Chase Oaks and Christ Fellowship, and we're part of the same family tree. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to be up there, I just can't wait. I mean, it's one thing. I mean, it'll be great to speak. That's fine. But just to be there and to be part of it and to experience that is something I haven't gotten to do very much. And so I'm like a little
because you're kind of busy on Sundays.
Yeah. And so I'm like a little kid at Christmas. You know, I can't wait. And to be able to honor my friend and somebody who's worthy of so much honor, it's I'm really looking forward
to
it.
And I'm so thankful this worked out. I'm so grateful for you coming, Jeff. And it really means a lot for me for you to come. And so I'm looking forward to September 29th and just being together and sharing it together. I'm going to host that Sunday so I can make fun of you. I mean, so I can,
oh my goodness,
we can serve together and, you know, do that. So that's going to be fun. Anyway, I'm really looking forward. Thanks, Lisa, for guiding the time. But what a joy, Jeff, all these years of ministry together and then to share this moment together.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So September 29th is when Jeff will be there. You don't want to miss it. If you're not local, please watch online. It's going to be a great Sunday. And all the Sundays until October 20th are going to be amazing. All right, let me pray for us. Father God, I thank you for two wise leaders. I thank you for two men who have chosen to follow you and to give you their all for all these years, Lord, to serve you and to serve your church. And Father, I pray for all our listeners. I pray, first of all, that they would find someone to link arms with and to grow with and to be friends with and to walk alongside for many, many years. And if their heart desires that, Lord, I pray that you would guide them to that person. And Father, I just pray for my dear brother Bruce as he transitions into the next phase. Lord, I just thank you for him. I'm so grateful for him. And Lord, I just pray so many blessings on this next chapter. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everybody, thank you so much, and we'll see you back next week.